Good morning.
Good morning.
And a warm welcome to church this morning. Good to see everyone, and it's good to see some visitors with us this morning as well. And you're especially welcome. There's tea and coffee served at the end of the service today. And if you're able to stay, it would be great to see you and be able to enjoy fellowship with you. The service is today, obviously at 11, and at 6 p.m. this evening, both of which will be conducted by myself, God willing. I want to encourage the young ones, come in the evening. You know, I promised for a long time that we'd finish by 7, and I know I missed it quite a few times, I'm sorry about that. For the last Sunday evening I preached, it was 7 o'clock on the button. That's not too late for a bedtime. So parents, be encouraged to take the young ones along in the evening as well, if you're able. One or two intimations to carry on with: the ladies' Bible study tomorrow at 8, First Fruit Fellowship on Tuesday at 7:30 in the Church of Scotland Hall, Road to Recovery on Tuesday at 8 in the Community Centre. Fundraising cafe on Saturday 21st of May to raise money for a forthcoming youth trip to Nepal. Donations of bacon, etc. would be greatly appreciated. Please contact Peggy McLeod or Flora Morrison for more information or for any donations. Prayer meeting on Wednesday at 7:30 in the Community Centre here as usual. It's hoped to have a holiday club from the 8th to the 11th of August here, and just to see whether or not this would be viable, possible, it would be good to know how many helpers we would have. So if you think you could help, please add your name to the list which is at the door. It's proposed to have catering hospitality teams to help with church events. We've had various things in the past few weeks, and we've got a few more in the next few weeks: congregational meals, communion fellowships, barbecues, etc. And so if there was three teams who could rotate, and it would just help to organise things and streamline things in the preparation. A couple more intimations which I have got a sort of note of. There's a fun day, and there's a fun day, which is when, is this on the screen? There's a congregational meal and barbecue scheduled for the next few weeks. The congregational meal and the AGM will happen on the 17th of June. So please put that date in your diary. The AGM will have the usual kind of thing where we have to present the accounts and have questions asked. We'll have a congregational meal as part of that evening, and also we'll have the plans, probably a couple of plans that we propose for the church building and the development of that. So that's a date for your diary. The application for the planning application is in, and so we're waiting for that to progress. But meanwhile, we can look at the development of the design. And the barbecue for the church with Scalpie and Leverborough is, I now think, set for the 11th of June. And so please put that date in your diary. Is that right? 11th of June? Yes. So please put your date, that date in your diary as well. Armin, come and tell us, please.
It's up there. Simon keeps the door locked, but offers us help and donations and refreshments. I should have got Lucy if somebody to come and do this. For the Challenger Bus Community Fund Day on the 28th of May. So for more information, to speak to Mary or Lucy.
It was there and there. Okay.
And I've got one more intimation. And I've got to be careful with this one. This is for a week on Tuesday, which I think is the 24th of May. I don't have a venue for this yet, but I'll give you the venue for it next Sunday. But the 24th of May, Tuesday the 24th of May, is the date, I think. We'll talk about his work in Glasgow with refugees and asylum seekers, and his plans to move to the Middle East with his family in the near future. And so that's a date as well I would encourage you to put in your diary. He's been working in Glasgow with refugees and asylum seekers for a while now, and has plans to move to the Middle East with his family in the near future. So please, if you would like to hear about that and pray for him as he goes, then be encouraged to come along to that meeting. I think these are all the information, so let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this, your day and this morning, and our being here together with you. We thank you that we have the invitation and the call to worship the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we thank you that we have that call to come to the throne of grace and prayer. We thank you that the throne of God above is a throne of grace. And we are received as we come in the name of Jesus, seeking forgiveness, seeking cleansing, seeking acceptance in and through him. Even in these moments already, we're conscious of the busyness of the weeks past and the week that is impending, should we be spared to see all of it. And Lord, we pray that in the busyness of life, and in the busyness even of this morning, with all the things that fill our minds, we pray that you would enable us now to be still, to be free from distraction, and to know that you are God, and that you're with us. So still our hearts, we pray. Settle our minds. Enable us to fix our eyes upon Jesus. And we pray that we would be in that true spirit of worship as we come in his name. Amen. We're going to sing now to God's praise, and we sing from Psalm 34. Psalm 34 and verses 1 to 9. I think of that psalm. God will I bless all times, his praise my mouth shall still express. My soul shall boast in God, the meek shall hear with joyfulness. Down to the end of verse 9. We taste and see that God is good, who trusts in him is blessed. Fear God, his saints, none that can fear shall be with want oppressed. We stand to sing, sing to God's praise. Forward, please. Good to see you all today. Are you all well? Now then, who wants to be a volunteer today? Alistair, I'll let you be one volunteer, and I think I'll get two. They're always sitting there, aren't they? They never answer my questions. Will we get two of them? Get two of them to be volunteers as well. Okay, I've got some things to show you here today. And the first thing is two plates of crisps. You see them there? One of these plates of crisps is ready salted flavour. One of these plates of crisps is cheddar and bacon flavour, I think it is. And then I have two cups of tea. One of these cups of tea has two sugars in it. One of these cups of tea doesn't have two sugars in it. Has no sugars in it. And then I have two cups of tomato sauce. One of these cups of tomato sauce is just tomato sauce, and one of these cups is a spicy tomato sauce. Now then, here's the question. Just looking at these two plates of crisps, do you know which ones are ready salted and which ones are cheddar and bacon? How do we know? Can you tell just by looking at them? If you got one of these big bags of multi-packs of crisps with six different flavours in them, and you emptied every packet out and you put it in a big bowl, how would you know which crisp is which? Would you know by looking at them? If you said, well, I like ready salted, but I don't like Worcester sauce, would you be able to tell which one is ready salted and which one's Worcester sauce just by looking at them? No, you wouldn't, would you? Two cups of teas. Come on, Jono. Up here. I'm not going to make you drink tea, don't worry. One has two sugars in it, one doesn't. Which one do you think has the two sugars in it? Are you guessing? Yeah, you're guessing. Because they both look exactly, do they look the same? Exactly the same, don't they? And then the tomato sauce, one's spicier than the other, one's just normal tomato sauce, one's a wee bit spicy. Do they look any different? They just look the same. So how do we know which is which? How can we tell which is the spicy one and which isn't? How can we tell which is two sugars and which doesn't? How can we tell which is ready salted and which is cheese and bacon? But how can we tell? Katie? By tasting. Come on then. How you come, Katie? No chance. She's wise. She's wise, that one. Who's coming then? Come on, Jono, then. Your first hands first up. Taste test number one.
Bacon.
That's bacon, is it? Right, you finish that one. It's no trick, girls, don't worry. You want to taste that one? What was that?
Ready salted.
Ready salted, thank you very much. Cups of tea. Who here takes two sugars in their tea? Russell, come on.
Hey. Can I not try the crisps?
No. Taste the first cup. Has that got two sugars? I honestly don't know. Taste the second one. Has that got two sugars?
Might have been a shoe.
Nope. Take that one with you. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you, Russell.
Thank you.
One had two sugars, one had about eight salts. And then there's the tomato sauce. Who's going to be tasting the tomato sauce? Gordon, come on in. It's always nice to see the police commander cry. Spicy or not?
Not.
Not spicy.
So take a smaller scoop of this one. Spicy. Very spicy. I'll take your water.
Whoever's going to be sitting next to Gordon is going to be hot for the rest of the service. So how do we know the difference? We tasted and we saw that one of the cups of tea was bad, one of the cups of tea was good. One of the tomato sauces was bad and spicy, very spicy, lots of Tabasco sauce in it. The other one was good. One of them was ready salted, one was bacon. But in order to find out, we had to taste. Here's the verse that I want to give you this morning, boys and girls. We just sang it, and it says in Psalm 34 and verse 8, O taste and see, taste and see that God is good. Taste and see that God is good. There's lots of people today, and they say, oh, I don't think I believe in God. And I'm not sure I want to read that Bible. And I definitely don't want to go to church. And yet they've never tasted God. And they've never tasted how good the Bible is. And they've maybe never tasted even coming to church. How can we taste and see that God is good? How do you taste God? What do you think? It's quite a hard question. How do we taste and see that God is good? Do you believe that God is good? Anish?
Yeah.
Why do you think God is good?
Because it says it in the Bible.
If the Bible never gets opened, never gets tasted, there's lots of people who think, oh, I'm not sure God is good. Do you think God is good, Caitlin? Yeah? Why? Because of... You help her up, Grace. Who's the one that shows us how good God is? Caitlin, Jesus. And he was so good, he loved us so much, that he left heaven, he came to this world, he loved us with that perfect love, he lived that perfect life, he died to take away our sins, and he promises that anyone who comes to him, he will never turn them away. You ever go on to try and play with some friends in the playground? And they kind of turn you away. They say, we're playing our game. You're not playing with us. Jesus says, whoever comes to me, I'll never turn them away. He's good. In 1,000,000,000 different ways, he's good. And so let's taste and see, week after week, that God is good. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you are good. And you are good beyond any words that we can find to describe you. You are indescribable. And yet we thank you that you've shown enough of yourself to us for us to know that you are good and that you love us. And that you are for us and not against us. You're against the sin that we are born with. But we thank you that Jesus came to take that sin away. And we thank you that when we trust in him, we find that we are blessed. We find that we have you as the friend that sticks closer to us than anyone. We have you as our Savior. We have you as our King, the one who guides us. Forgive us, Lord. Sometimes we taste so many other things in this world, and we spend little time tasting and seeing that you are good. Help us today and every day that you give us to come to know you more and more. And Lord, as we see more and more of your goodness, we pray that we would love you more. Please forgive our sins. Please lead us by your Spirit and help us in the rest of this service and this day and in our lives to taste and see that you are good. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing, and we're going to sing this time. It's not in the book, but it's on the screen, or it will be in a minute. One of the main ways that we find out how good God is in the Bible. And the Bible is the way that he speaks to us. And so now we're going to ask God to help us and to speak to us as we open his word, both here and as you go to Sunday school. So speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the fruit of your holy word. We stand to sing. Well, if you can turn in your Bibles with me, please, to Psalm 34. Psalm 34, and we're going to read the whole of the psalm. Psalm of David, when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he left. Verse 1, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that God is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones, not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems his servants. No one will be condemned who takes refuge in him. Amen, and may God bless that reading of his holy word to us. Callum will now lead us in prayer and gather, please.
Maar een wat half tien, van je maasje en kent met je en knieën met je. Jij de gemers, dus de goede goede tuinen. Maar van je geluiden zijn er dus bij jolig het brood. Er is gallig en ik die oeuwen. Ach, locht weer zo'n het pjacht in je. Is droog weer zo'n een langjacht. Dukke weer eens een smachtige schie. Er is weer gedekend zijn laanetje schingen. Euch heisch nüle, mach höchige Schachen. Euch nundisch in Kachön, na liefe. Euch locken hier in Edison, eingeach Kachön gehen. Als ich nicht einmal, euch ruhe männlich, die so eine Bein du, als du urk wird doch gelacken. Und du gewöhn die Fochkel sein, nur es gewöhn die Wart, kuhle weh, wann du als du. Ich hab am Jungs, es ist die Schule, hat es so, aus Barhaumurlach, aus Bernische Swammerskrieg. Jor bin hier na fjöksat er i öte. Goda me bedan fjöksat er en fakes. Treki vint hang i livs i den eker och smånten. Og vis pilvedes i hier na. Og vis a vat kudde morsene hier na evan du var su. Og vis avradein na chet i smånten se ver smånten se. Chamos et er his ver schvise. Og maran in even ars chachan talav. At i smånten se chach ver smånten se. Agus Teresa Chachos Lisa. Agus Marekin Hushka Moas, agus Hushnach Gonaid. Agus Nach Tire Rash Hamashin, ach the Mushki Kent Halo, agus can do the Eth Fas Torah, who's Torah Havas Dua Ye. Agus can do the Shiel Gars and the Huders, agus Aran Gars and the Higgins. Agus Amosin, agus Smokkul, et Yemachas Mabeelt and in Hiona. Hatire Amyunsik and Tudalva. Ach Kolan Yen Yisalem, Rwys gyda cwpwyl yn ni, mae dy chwm yn mache. Na, as yna dy mol, yw'ch rwy yn ni anna ti, ar sian gach, fel y troch, gyda pwyl y hwon gach las, gach, y fath yw siawt yn ni'n grwtws ar yw, grwtws y ti. As yna dy mol, yw sian y siach, gan yna edrych gwl, so gras fel y ddawgain, grw siawt yn ni hiwna, grwtws y ti. Os yna chwm yn ni, as yna ti, yna gadech chi, Ed piachki na tova, ed kere piachki kseni, piachki na tovi, aus ura e gish vini hiona, aus in gebe kere solos kiyo, na he, e toro chutse ti madelish, Gwyrwys y ffyr yn ychydig ys ciasgol ag amach y gael. Os ein o'ch gwyd ys yna dymolwg efo yn diwrs yw'r ys o'n gach troch ddew da gael. Os yna dymolwg ys o'n dihach gyda chwyd yw maile dyn ni hi o'n ys gwyd o hen yn asdach y gael. Yn agach yn synysg yn bwy ys mos ein gwyd yn ychydig gwyd edrych tiogus cres. Tror eich ysgwyd sy'n yna eich gwyd am ys na ffag sy'n sna treg sy'n sglein eich o'n hi o'n ag Gachan yn fianach, dys byddaronia sgach cwys, sgach i ysd, amen.
And we sing again to God's praise from Psalm 34 and verses 10 and 11 in English. And I'll read these verses in English, we'll sing them. And Gaelic, the lions young may hungry be and they may lack their food, but they that truly seek the Lord shall not lack any good. O children, hither do ye come, and unto me give ear, I shall you teach to understand how ye the Lord should fear. We sing these two stanzas in Gaelic, and we remain seated to sing in Gaelic.
Yeah.
Well, if you can turn back to Psalm 34 with me, please. Just again read from verse 1, first 10 verses, or we'll probably look at the whole psalm. I will extol the Lord at all times, his praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord, let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me, let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears, those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. And let's pray again for a moment. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to your holy word, inspired by the Holy Spirit and preserved over the generations, we thank you for it, and we thank you that we are not left alone to try to understand, but we are told that as we come to your word, we are to pray and ask for the help of the Holy Spirit, who illuminates our minds and gives us understanding. And so we pray that the Holy Spirit would indeed be the one who helps us and who illuminates our minds. We pray that we would have that understanding that comes from you, and we ask, Lord, that you would speak into our lives in such a way that we will be changed eternally, and that we would, with the psalmist, have a testimony to who you are and what you have done and what you continue to do in our lives. So hear us, we pray. Bless us as we come into your presence here, and we pray for those who would desire to be here but who can't be. We remember them in prayer and ask that you would meet with them where they are. Thank you for that verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. We pray especially today for those who are struggling, who are battling in their minds, who are battling in their bodies, those who may be under spiritual attack and affliction. And we ask, Father, that you would be near to them, that the angel of the Lord would encamp around them, give them that protection. And we ask, Lord, that they would know, as we pray that we would know, and the children in the rooms around us would know that you are God and that you are good. So hear our prayers and lead us by your Spirit. Lead us into truth, we pray. And truth, we thank you, we find in your word. So open it for us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the blessings that we enjoyed, those of us who were here last weekend, was we were able to hear not just great preaching and all that the Lord has been saying to us through the servants that he sent to be with us last weekend, but one of the blessings as well that we had last weekend when we had that time of fellowship and communion was we were able to hear of how the Lord works in the real lives of individuals here and now. And as we were listening to various people give a testimony, Aman and Kenny and Kevin Norman, John Murdo and Asian, each of them spoke about how they came to know the Lord Jesus. They testified of how the Lord came into their lives and what he's been doing in their lives ever since. And this morning, as we come to Psalm 34. I have to say, it's a bit of a surprise to me that we're in Psalm 34. I hadn't intended on being Psalm I hadn't intended on being in Psalm 34, but I woke up, I think it was last Thursday, with a verse going round and round in my head. And then that same verse and this same psalm has been stalking me ever since. In my Bible readings, through the praises that were chosen by the ministers who were here, and through conversations that I've had, this psalm has been coming to me time and time again, and it's been laid upon my heart. And so I think that God has something to say to us, myself included, through this psalm this morning. What is this psalm? Well, it's a testament. Essentially, it's a testament. It's a record of how the psalmist comes to know the goodness and the deliverance of God in his life. He gives a testimony of one particular encounter, but he gives testimony to the knowledge that he has of the Lord. And I wonder, just at the outset of the service, could you answer the question, do you have a testimony? If I was to sit down and invite you to come up and share just a simple word about how you've come to know the Lord and what he's doing in your life presently, would you have anything to say? As a psalmist did. Do we have a testimony? It might not be dramatic. It might not be that we could point to a day or a moment or an hour where in some spectacular way we came to know the Lord. Most people can't. But could we speak about that relationship that we have and we enjoy with the Lord in our lives? Well, let's look at this testimony. Let's look at the elements of this testimony of the psalmist. And these are elements which are common to any testimony that could be shared here or elsewhere. There's three things that we can note in this psalm. I was taught last weekend, every good sermon should have 3 points. So I'll endeavour to give you 3 points this morning. There's three things to note. The first is that we see that the psalmist has a desire to glorify God. The second is the psalmist, he speaks of the deliverance that he has received at the hand of God. And thirdly, the psalmist shares with us the delight that he feels and he experiences in his relationship with the Lord. So firstly, there's that desire to glorify God, and we see that particularly in the first three verses. Now, one of the testimonies we heard last weekend was from Kenny. Hopefully Kenny won't crawl under the chair when I share this with you, but Kenny told a story last weekend of how he was in the barn over at Strond. His mother had become a Christian. Kenny at that point hadn't become a Christian. He'd come home and he was conscious that there was a house full of people, and they were all in fellowship and they were all singing, I guess, and speaking of the things of God. Kenny took off to the barn to escape. And when he was in the barn in the quiet, he heard two people who were leaving the house towards the end of the night. One obviously had given their testimony and one hadn't. And the one who had given their testimony turned to the friend that was with him and said, you know, was it okay? And the line that he used, which I've remembered, was, I hope, speaking about his testimony to his friend, he says, I hope there was more of the Lord in my testimony than there was of me in it. And that's the desire of the Christian. We desire that people would see and hear and taste and join with us in glorifying God. Listen to what David says. Verse 1, I will extol the Lord at all times. And we know from our studies on Wednesday evening that David had some bad times. And yet he continues to extol the Lord. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips, not just when I'm having a good day. My soul will boast in the Lord. And that's David's introduction. As he stands, if we could pitch them to share his testimony, he gives that word of preface, that explanation. He stands, he speaks, he writes, because he is determined in his will that he will extol, that he will praise, that he will boast in the Lord at all times. And so there's that desire that David has to glorify God. And when we have that desire, it indicates that God has been at work and is at work in our lives at present. If you drive out to Kailas this morning, there's all kinds of evidences that the men have been at work on that road. One of the evidences of God at work in our lives is that we have this new desire to glorify, to exalt, to praise, to lift up the Lord and not ourselves. See, in our sinful nature, the way that we're born, the nature that we inherit from Adam, we are prone to boast in ourselves, the things that we do. We crave the praise of others. We are the ones who want to be extolled and have our names in lights. But when God reveals himself to us and we see his own glory and our own sin, we realize, no longer can I boast in myself. And never should I have been boasting in myself. We realize when God is at work that we are not the ones to be praised and extolled and worshipped. Even our best efforts, Isaiah tells us, they're like filthy rags before God. Kevin Norman on Saturday night, remember, for those who were present, he shared a word of testimony. And Kevin Norman spoke about how he had this gift to play the guitar and sing. And so, all the way through secondary school, his ambition, his desire was that he'd be on the stage with a microphone, he in the park, thousands upon thousands in the field, all looking at him, lights set on him, microphone on him. But when he came to know the Lord, that instantly changed. And he spoke about how the Lord put a new song in his mouth. No longer himself, but his God to glorify. And the personal, the inner desire of the Christian is to glorify God and not ourselves. It's one of the elements of any testimony. It's why we stand up when everything in us is saying, sit back down. It's because we want to glorify God. But it's not just the inner desire. There's also that desire in any testimony that others would join with us in glorifying God. I know we live in a very individualistic society where every man is like an island, you could say. We're very protective of our privacy, but that's not the Christian way. When we become Christians, not only do we have this new desire and this new focus, but we want everyone else to join with us in giving praise and adoration to the God who saved us. And so the desire of the Christian is to call with others so that they will join in with us in glorifying and praising the Lord. Look at the second half of verse 2 and into verse 3. David says, let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me, says David. Let us, the congregation, exalt his name together. Remember John Murdoch? On Sunday night, and he made reference to it in the nights before. Jim Murder was one of the ministers that was here last weekend, and he spoke about, with great candor, the affliction that he suffered under for many years. Alcohol had a grip on him. It was killing him. He was in that dark and fearful pit. He was in that miry clay, but he spoke about how Jesus saved him. And because Jesus saved him, when he knew that it was such an impossible case, his desire and the rest of his life was given over to to tell other people that Jesus can save them too. And not just from the affliction of alcohol, but from the disease of sin. And this is what David is doing here in the psalm. He's calling the afflicted, he's calling the sorrowing, he's calling the lost, he's calling the hopeless, he's calling the lonely, he's calling the godless to listen to his testimony and to look to the Lord and to join with him in glorifying and exalting the name of the Lord. It's another mark of the Christian. We've got to be searching our own hearts and asking the Holy Spirit will be searching our hearts as we sit here. We've got to be allowing God to search us with a view to us finding that assurance if we are Christians, of where we are before, and if we're not Christians, of having that clarity to be able to see that we're not. So we'll come in repentance and faith and be saved. But just as David glorifies God in his inner being and calls others to do so, it's another mark of the Christian. The Christian cannot keep quiet. When Jesus comes into a life, he cannot be contained. He cannot be kept secret. He won't allow us to live that way. Remember in the scene, his testimony? He spoke about this wrestle that he was having with the Lord. And eventually, with great reluctance, he gave in. And he asked for salvation. And he asked that God would save his soul. And there was that elation. But he said to the Lord, here's the conditions. You come in, but this will be our secret. This will just be between you and I. No one else must know. And the Lord said to him, no deal. He spoke about how the Lord must have been laughing at his prayer. A Christian is not only one who has the desire to glorify God, but has the commission and that growing compulsion to tell others. And one of the ways that we do that is by what we did last weekend. We sat around the Lord's table. Now for many people that's a hugely costly thing to do. I know of some of the personal torment that some went through to sit at the Lord's table. It's difficult to go there sometimes. Because yes, people are looking at you. It's a visible place. But when you're a Christian, you have to go. In obedience to Christ. As a personal testimony to the work of salvation that the Lord has done in your life, you have to go. If you're a Christian. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? She had that bleeding for year after year and made an outcast in that culture. And as Jesus was there, she was one of the crowd. And she just crept through the crowd very surreptitiously. She touched the hem of his garment. She was healed instantly. And Jesus said, remember, who touched me? Who received that salvation that I've just given? I'm sure he knew already. But he was asking her to make herself known. To share her testimony. I wonder if there's someone here this morning who needs to come forward. Is there someone here this morning who needs to let others know what Christ has done for them? I wonder if there's someone here this morning who have given opportunity must never sit outside the Lord's table again. John Calvin says, let us learn that when each believer testifies to the personal benefits he has received, all will be inspired to join publicly in giving praise to God. We do this not just that others may witness our gratitude, but also that they may follow our example. Wouldn't it be wonderful, wouldn't it be God glorifying if we witnessed a domino effect here? As some come forward and speak of the faith that they have in Christ and all that he has done for them, others follow. If someone here this morning who knows that they are not in the forever family of Christ, as one of the ministers put it last Sunday, if they would trust him today, and from this day glorify his name, what a wonderful thing that would be. And I wonder how many more would follow. So we see, first of all, in the psalm, that there is this desire to glorify God, and that's the longest point by a long way. The second thing that we see here is the deliverance that David received and experienced. Verses 4 to 7, David says, I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. So if the introduction to the testimony was to do with the new desire that David had to glorify God and the gratitude that he had towards God, the second section here, it gives us an explanation of why David is the way he is. David speaks about all that the Lord has done to deliver him. David speaks here of the trouble and the fear and the calamity that he was facing. David was that poor man, verse 6, who had no hope. David was that poor man who was in the corner and had no means of escape, but the Lord was with him in trouble. Verse 7. Such a beautiful verse. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. What a good God we worship. The Lord is always with his people when they're in trouble. Do we know that? The Lord is always with his people when they're in trouble. He and his angels encamp. It's such a picture. They encamp around those who fear, who trust the Lord. He doesn't leave them high and dry. He doesn't watch from a distance to see how they cope under pressure. But the Lord is close to them. He is with them. He is encamping around them. He's the friend that stands shoulder to shoulder with us, no matter how tough things get in the battlefield. Others may flee when trouble comes our way, but the Lord draws close. That's true, isn't it? Sometimes in the darkest times of our lives, when we are struggling the most, and people know we are, people cross the road to avoid us. Because they don't know what to say to us. And yet the Lord, he draws close. Others cross over, he draws close. The Lord, verse 18, is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Anyone brokenhearted this morning? anyone crushed in spirit. It can happen in the playground. It can happen in our midlife workplace. It can happen at the end of our days when we're isolated. But God is with us through it all. What a friend He is. What a friend to have. Is He your friend? The hymn writer says, I found a friend, though such a friend, so kind and true and tender, so wise a counselor and guide, so mighty a defender. And that's David's testimony. Not only is the Lord with him in trouble, He's the one who delivers him out of his trouble. And just let's flip to 1 Samuel 21 just for a moment. It's not often that we're given that clear insight into what David was actually going through as he wrote the words that we have. But this is one of the rare occasions where we do know what David was going through. David is running for his life. David is being pursued by King Saul. He flees to Gath, the land of the Philistines, which is enemy territory, which shows you how desperate things have become. If he's got to flee to enemy lands to be able to seek solace from the king, then he's in dire straits. He goes to the land of the Philistines, where David himself was notorious, because he was the one who killed their champion, Goliath. So he was hated there, and he was well known there. And so in 1 Samuel and 21, and we pick up at verse 10, and it says there, that day David fled from Saul and went to Achish, king of Gath. But the servants of Achish said to him, isn't this David, the king of the land? Isn't he the one they sang about in their dances? Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. And David knew his number was up at that point. David took these words to heart. He was very much afraid of Achish, king of Gath. So he feigned insanity in their presence. And while he was in their hands, he acted like a madman, making marks on the doors of the gate and letting saliva run down his beard. Achish said to his servants, look at the man, he is insane. Why bring him to me? Am I so short of madmen that you have to bring this fellow here to carry on like this in front of me? Must this man come into my house? And so we read in verse 22 and verse 1, David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. David is delivered. When it looks like he has no hope, he is delivered. He comes up with this ingenious plan, and he manages to execute this plan. And he's delivered. But notice that David, he doesn't congratulate himself on the psalm for his quick thinking. David, yes, he's experienced deliverance, but in verse 4, he puts it all down to God. I sought the Lord. We don't have that prayer in the account, but he's obviously seeking the Lord, and the Lord answers him. And so David realizes that God is the one who saved him. There's a point there for the hyper-Calvinists amongst us this morning, if there's any here. The hyper-Calvinist says, well, if God is going to save me, he's going to save me. There's nothing I can do about it. If God is going to restore me from my lukewarm state, he's going to restore me. There's not a thing I can do about it. I'm just going to sit here and wait for it to happen. Well, God saved David. But David was no immobile passenger. He was no silent spectator in the middle of all this. David had to act. David had to respond. And we're not in the same situation David was in, I know, where our lives are in danger and we're pursued by kings. But spiritually, we're in danger. That's the fact. None of us sit here neutral before God. We are either saved or we are damned. By nature, we are damned. Through Christ, we can be saved. We are in danger because of the sin that we have inherited. We are in a more fearful and calamitous and hopeless position than David ever was in a physical sense. But if we cry out to the Lord from our hearts, if we trust the Lord, if we come to the cross, if we ask for forgiveness of sin, if we look in faith to Jesus, we will be delivered. That's God's promise. We'll be delivered. Delivered from the penalty of sin. Delivered from the clutches of the enemy of our soul, the devil. Delivered from the sting of death. Delivered from the prospect of eternity lost, which is hell. David says in his testimony, I sought the Lord, verse 4, and he answered me. Here's the question. Have you sought the Lord yet? You're in danger, as am I in our sinful condition. We're in danger until the second that we seek the Lord. Have we asked the Lord for that deliverance that only Jesus can bring? If the answer to that question is no, you're not a Christian. And if the answer to that question is no, and God is showing you that in this moment, he's showing you that you'll ask. Seek the Lord. Ask him today. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Not next year. Ask him today that he will deliver you from all your fears, that he will gift you with that salvation that Jesus has bought. So there's that desire to glorify God, there's that deliverance that David gives testimony to, and thirdly, and just in a word, I'll give you the headings, there's that delight in verses 8 to 10 and following. You know, there are so many people who say today, I would become a Christian, but I'd love to be saved from hell. I'd love to know that I'm safe if I die, but I don't want to become a Christian. This is just so dull. It's just so boring. It's like I've got to hand my life over, and everything I enjoy and everything that's good and gives me pleasure, I have to say cheerio to it and embrace this misery of life, this dullness of life. It's a devil's lie. And yet I hear it all the time. It's not dull to be a Christian. It's anything but dull. David speaks here about the delight of knowing the Lord. And David speaks about the delight of knowing the Lord through some of the darkest paths. It's not an easy life to be a Christian. Somebody prayed over the last few days. It's not a bed of roses. But it's a so satisfying, delightful life to be Christ's. So what must we do if we are to share in that delight that David gives testimony to? Or what must we do if we have lost that sense of delight and we are Christians who are dull and we've got lukewarm on the edges of us? Three things, just take the headings. Taste the Lord. Fear the Lord. And seek the Lord. Taste the Lord. Children, showed us. Taste and see that God is good. Blessed is the man or the woman or the boy or the girl who takes refuge in him. The devil's a master chef. He has so many tastes to tickle the palate of our souls with. And he will pile our plates high with everything this world can offer. They'll say, money, you need money, I'll get you money. Success. Popularity. Lust for things, lust for people. Possessions, you need more stuff. I can get you stuff. And the list goes on. And there's so many people have a taste for these things, and yet the more they taste, the more we want. You know that chemical that gets put on some of these fast foods, MSG? It heightens the taste, I think. But there's something in it that stops us being satisfied and causes us to crave another portion. It's like sin. And all the devil puts in our plates. David says to the one who's never tasted and seen before, David says to the one who is lean in their soul, taste and see that God is good. And use this day, it's the Lord's day. Taste and see, not just for this hour. But once we go out, we're in a quiet place, if we get a quiet place. Taste and see that God is good. Meet with Him in the Word. Draw near to Him in prayer. Determine that we're not going to fritter the whole day away, but we'll use it to taste and see that God is good. Taste the Lord. You'll find it's a delight. He's a delight. Fear the Lord, secondly. Fear the Lord, verse 9, you saints. Those who fear Him lack nothing. And the fear that David writes of here is not that dreadful fear that drives us away, but it's that awe-inspiring fear that draws us close. This author, Paul David Tripp, in his book Awe, writes this. He says, I was wired for God. I was wired for awe of God. No other awe satisfies the soul. No other awe can give my heart the peace, rest, security that it seeks. That's David's testimony also. That's his exhortation to us. Fear the Lord, you His saints, for those who fear Him lack nothing. And finally, when we're done with this, seek the Lord. This is actually the verse that I woke up with on that Thursday morning, thinking, which psalm is that from again? The lion's young may hungry be, and they may lack their food. But they that truly seek the Lord shall not lack any good. And the lions and their young, they're ambitious, ferocious young. They're the kings of the animal world. And they seem so sovereign, and they seem so in control, and they seem so self-sufficient. But even with all their might, they grow weak. And they grow hungry and they get lean. But the Lord Jesus, the one whom David is pointing us to in verse 19 and the verses before it and after it, He is the only true sovereign. He is the King of Kings, and yet He is the one who became poor in order that we could become rich. And He is the one who became sin in order that we could become righteous. And He is the one who went to a cross as our Passover lamb. And just as the bones of the Passover lamb must not be broken, verse 20 tells us not one of His bones were broken. It's one of these details from the cross. The Passover lamb. Not one of His bones were broken. John tells us that in John 19:36. The soldiers came to Calvary Hill. They came to break the bones of those who hung there. Because when the bones were broken, the asphyxiation was sped up and death was accelerated. But when they came to Jesus, He had already laid down His life. No one was going to take His life away from Him. And so, they didn't touch Him. not his bones. Not one of his bones was broken. He laid his life down. It wasn't taken from him. And he laid his life down in order that we could receive eternal life and satisfaction and delight for our souls in and through him. And we're going to sing in a moment, now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. Seek the Lord, and you'll find when you do, he's seeking you first. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this psalm, this testimony that we are given from David, the one who has a heart like the Lord's. We pray that you may be at work in our lives, and as we hear your voice to us through the word, we pray that we would not resist, but that we would seek you. And we thank you that just as we seek you and as we turn around in faith to find you, we find that you are the God who is like the father and the prodigal, who is scanning the horizon for those who will return to him. We pray that even today there may be some who will turn from sin and will turn in faith, perhaps for the first time, or perhaps for the first time in a while, to receive that forgiveness and that delight that comes from spending time, Lord, in your presence. Hear our prayers. We pray that as we seek you, we may find you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing to finish the words on the screen. They're not in either of the books. O Christ, in thee is the hymn. My soul hath found, and found in thee, O Lord, the peace, the joy I sought so long, the bliss till now unknown. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with us all, both now and forevermore. Amen.